Jake, good morning. How are you, brother?
Happy New Year, Mike. I'm doing good, buddy.
Happy New Year, man. As we slide into 25, we've got a big show ahead of us today. Welcome everybody to the new year. We're going to talk about two things today. We're going to definitely talk about visibility and getting noticed. And then the second thing is confidence in business and how to overcome other people that are challenging you, other peer partners, other people that you made agreements with, other vendors. So when we talk about our whole mission, it's ironic, like two guys that don't really do a whole lot of social media are all about visibility. We want to characterize this with something. I feel like you need visibility because you have to enter people into the conversation. If people aren't into your ecosystem, they don't know who you are. You know, if you're not on the street corner in New York shaking hands, saying, "Hey, my name's Jake Clendenning and I'm a business coach, hire me," no one's going to know who the hell you are. So in the, digital world, virtual world, and the in-person world, how do we create this hybrid visibility? How do we get seen? And how do we get obscene so that we get seen a lot? And, about halfway through the show, we're going to hit a teaser, and we've got some big announcements to make, and we've got some other things to cover. So when I talk about the hybrid visibility of being seen and being obscene, what do you think, Jake? I mean, walk with me here. Like, talk with me a little bit. When you hear me say these things and you say visibility, do you think like, oh, I need to post 100 times on social media a day to my friends on Facebook? Or do I need to go to LinkedIn? Or do I need to go to TikTok? Or do I need to get on TV like you and I? Like, what's visibility? So let's start there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you
I'll
and I
talk to
made the
you.
choice, right? And we had this conversation a year ago. We had this conversation. We said, okay, we've got to change the way we do visibility because our, like, if we go even tell the story once upon a time, visibility was you had to show up in your community, right? You had to show up at town council meetings. You need to be chamber of commerce. It was business to business, belly to belly in person. And that was how we created that local visibility. That was still visibility. It was the same thing. And it was how you showed up, it was the relationships you made with the people that were around you. Well, it's evolved, right? Visibility has evolved. So now we have so many other channels that are out there, but the point's still the same. The point is still the same. It's still to make relationships. It's still to be authentic. It's still to do the same thing. You're just doing it on a bigger scale. You're able to reach more people, create more impact. And yet, this is where we see and we've seen. I'm guilty of it too, because I get called out on it, is people will show up differently. They'll show up a different way on camera than they are authentically in person with people. So that, we've got one of our people that we know very well that we work with that has recently talked about, you need to put out really lousy social media content. Just put out crappy stuff, poorly filmed. Don't do the edit, like drop your phone, do whatever you're going to do. Because that's authentically who you are, right? We don't, you and I currently, sure, we have studio setups because we're doing the show, and yet we're still showing up as the people that we are. So when we're talking visibility, yes, it's you have to. You cannot be a secret agent. You can't. Like, you cannot do it. If you need to reach people to convert people, you can't do it in secret. It's not possible. You have to reach out. So you've got to look at, all right, what are my channels? What do I talk about? What do I demonstrate? What do I do? And where can I do it that I can show up authentically, that I can create the relationships with people, that they can engage with me? I quote Simon Sinek all the time. Everybody's heard it, is people don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. People don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. It's a great YouTube. Look it up. It's like 14 minutes. It's his first TED talk. It was really cool, but it's true. Right? People don't sign up with me as a business coach, and they haven't for the last 15 years, simply because they look at all the letters behind my name and say, well, he's done all the trainings in the world, therefore he must be good. They don't care about that. It's not even remotely what they care about. They decide to work with me because they feel a connection in some way. Like, this guy might get me. This guy might listen to what I'm saying. And the same is true with you, with your clients. So, I mean, when we're talking visibility, I look at this as a, you've got to pick your thing. Like, you and I a year ago said, we're going to start a new podcast. Like that was where we started in that space. And a friend of ours and you forced me way outside of my comfort zone and said, no, we're doing a TV show. We're going to do a TV show on this one. And because that's the audience we need to reach. Those are the people that are going to connect with us. This is you and I being authentic. This is you and I having the conversations. And that's what it is. When people want to work with you, it's because of who you're engaging with. So, I mean, it is a critical component. It always has been in business. You just have to do it differently now. So when I throw all that at you, what are you hearing?
Well, when you say pick your channels, I always, for us business people and people who are trying to be change makers, how are you going to get individuals in your conversation? And you have to get good at having the same conversation over and over again. And the way to have the same conversation over and over again is duplicate yourself on media or use an AI agent and download and program these AI agents and just keep putting things in the atmosphere. If you want to get like real tactical, you know, what we're doing here is we're broadcasting to, you know, I don't even know how many thousands of people we're broadcasting to, you know, live when we go live on our Tuesday time slot. But we're also utilizing other social media channels, which again are like television channels. And if you think you're going to be a B2B and you're posting on Facebook, it may not be your best avenue. You know, if you might want to jump on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's becoming kind of the new Facebook. If you think about it, you're seeing sort of personal content in a professional environment. But if it's a B2B thing, people are on there. People are shopping. I mean, you could always cater ads, but if you're just posting to 18 of your friends to look good, just realize you're posting to 18 of your friends to look good.
See, there's the point. That's the point right there. Like that's exactly where you're at. And you got to think about this when you're doing business to business and you're going to go to, say you're part of BNI, right? A BNI network or a Connect and Collab or a local networking group. You can't go one time and expect to do business with them. You can't. You have to be consistent in what you're doing. So if you're going to go and connect with those 18 people every single week and engage with them over time, you can expect that there's probably going to be business that's going to come from that. The same is true with social media. The same is true with email campaigns, with TV, with podcasts. Like we couldn't do one TV show one Tuesday night and somebody sees it and 2 years down the road, they call and go, hey, you know what? I saw that one episode you did and you can't expect that. Like no. You've got to be consistent. So what Mike just said there in the, hey, if you're going to reach out to your 18 people and you're going to constantly reach out to those people, you have to expect the results of reaching out to those 18 people. So that's that. Yeah. I love the way that you said that. I kind of jumped on all over that, but it's consistency.
Well, you can reach those same 18 people, but I kind of have a idea. I think maybe we should start talking about how to reach
90 million.
Yeah, let's talk about 90 million. Since we're on the topic of visibility, and I promise you, audience, this is native. This isn't some sort of segue, but let's talk about season two. The business, we call it boardroom battleground, business battleground. I like boardroom battleground, where we are going to take people and we're going to blow up your whole business in a good way. We want to take the audience that you have. We want to amplify it to 90 million because our show's going viral here. We're getting syndicated and we are going to take our digital, / online presence to a whole new level. Now, what we're doing here is we're taking you, putting you right in the limelight, giving you the advice you need, filming you, telling you the hero's journey, and we're really making it happen for you. So Jake, why don't you break down in the next 30 seconds a little bit more about what we're doing for our television show for season two. And we're looking for contestants to be on the show.
Yep. Yeah. And the reality is it's a TV show, guys. It's a TV show. So like you got to be willing to be public. You're not going to be secret at all in any way, shape or form. So if you're totally ready to be just like, yeah, I want the world to know my story. I want the world to know why I do what I do, how I do it, who I serve, you know, who we're contributing to, all of those things. We're going to put you on 12 episodes. We're going to put you on 3 specials. We're going to put you on a season finale. We've got some cool KPIs and some challenges and things that are, you're going to compete for cash prizes. That's all cool and stuff. But where this is going to come from is we've built the biggest, meanest coaching platform I've ever seen, and we're going to film it. And it's a reality TV show, and you're head to head. Here's the deal. It's not Survivor. You're not getting kicked off the island. Like, this is we want the world to see you in your business, why you're passionate about what you're doing, how you're doing it, so that you can grow and convert your audience. That's the problem, as far as I'm concerned, and this is my opinion, in all the research we've done, the problem is growing and converting your audience. So leverage us. This is one of those spaces. Can you start your own podcast? 100%, you can, and it will take time to grow it. Can you start your own TV show? 100%, and it'll take time to grow it. We're there. We have, and like Michael said, I'm incredibly grateful for the fact that we have people that have seen this and they said, you know what, we believe in what you're doing and we want to put you in front of more people. And they're giving us the opportunity to put your businesses in front of 90 million viewers.
90 million viewers.
I'm still chewing on that number, man. That's a whopper of a number. That is one that, like, I had not considered. That wasn't even in my 10-year plan when you and I started this a year ago. And yet, based on this concept of being able to bring these businesses and really show what you guys do, like, and why you do it, and tell your story, so that, man, that can't wait. We're on it. We're filming now. We're working on season two that we're filming, but we need more people.
Here's the deal. Do one of two things. You want to go to the QR code here at the bottom of the screen, click it, or you want to go to total-disruption.com, total-disruption.com, and, you know, sign up and apply if this is the right fit for you. And if not, then tune in and you'll see these businesses and these great individuals that we are, our contestants for our next show are, man, these people are going to make such a difference in the world. And we can't wait to show you, our audience, these amazing individuals and these incredible ideas these entrepreneurs have.
It's cool.
So let's keep going a little bit more with the visibility piece. When we talk about, you know, we're saying we're 90 million viewers and we never thought about it that way, maybe we should have. You know, part of our plan was to grow our show, to grow our visibility. Why? Get more conversations, be out there, be known, be liked, be trusted, be safe, be regular, be steady. You know, when you drive down, you know, Sunset Boulevard, or when you drive down, you know, Main Street USA, and you see a fast food joint, you see, let's say, a McDonald's, or you see a Rite Aid, or you see Duane Reade, or Whataburger, wherever you are, Jack in the Box, you know what you're getting from the sign.
Mm-hmm.
Any business wants to either be brand identified or brand excluded because people know exactly what you offer. They know exactly who you are. You're known, you're liked, you're trusted, or people already know they're not for you. Like, think about it. How many Maserati dealerships and Porsche dealerships do the average American drive by? Do they pull in there? Not even for a second. But are those dealerships gigantic? Sure. That must mean they do something. How many casinos do people drive by? Does everyone go in and gamble? No. It must mean something. How many makeup stores do you drive by? I drive by a lot. Do I ever go in them unless I'm buying a gift? Absolutely not. I don't wear makeup. So maybe I should. You know what I mean? Maybe it would help me out.
You're just too pretty, dude.
Hey, thank you. But seriously, the idea behind this visibility piece is, if you're trying to make a difference, even if you're in the nonprofit space, and I think, you know, I have a dear friend of mine that's in the nonprofit space, and what this woman does is she not only raises money for these nonprofits, her and her team audit where the funds go. Now, if she's asking me for a donation, I'm going to feel confident that that donation is not going to admin fees. I'm going to feel confident that that donation is going to impact. So her visibility, in my opinion, she's not visible enough in that particular arena. Her visibility there would be, and I mean, this woman's doing life-changing things, her and her team, for certain individuals all over the globe. But that visibility piece of the trusted, hey, you're donating to this organization, but not only are you making an impact, I'm ensuring that you're making the impact. So we there's niches upon niches upon niches. And as an entrepreneur or as a human being, that you're trying to be as creative as you can in terms of showcasing what you're trying to do, right? If you're one of these coaches and you're trying to get a result like you, Jake, well, all the certifications you may or may not have, okay, the letters behind your name aren't going to apply to everybody. But if you keep talking about the results of what you're learning, let's just say you were going back into the, hey, I'm trying to grow my one-on-one practice. The results about what you're learning, and you keep resonating with people. Hey, I took this other course, learned how to help people fly out of a window without hitting the ground. Hey, I took this other course, and now I'm learning quantum math. Those kind of results should be showcased. That mm-hmm. what you do piece that you talked about earlier to 90 million people, to 40,000 people, to the right 10 people. Just remember, folks, visibility means you're going from this mass quantity and you're bringing everyone down and creating this funneling system all the way into, let me help these select five, let me help the select 10, and let me work through, 90 million people. And, mm-hmm. We can obviously show you, and there's a ton of coaches that can show you how to do that. But from a visibility piece, that is the name of the game. Anything more you want to add on the visibility idea? And maybe, Jake, maybe we should talk about some sort of pathway real quick. Like, okay, you get visible. How do you go from one side of the street? Hey, there's Jake over there. I want to get to him, but there's a lot of traffic. Do you want to talk about how to, get people real quick? I don't want to take up too much time of the show here, but because we want to stay on point, maybe over a crosswalk or to a red light or how to navigate the traffic.
About? So, there's a couple of things you got to know. So, and you have to come to grips with this. I'm going to straight up tell you, you got to come to grips with this, because though most service industries, we're going to stay in service for a second, are in it to help other people, you're still in sales. Your job is to do sales. You have to do sales in order to help other people. And that's okay. It's perfectly all right. So you've got to get right in your head. One, you have to ask for the business. You have to. If you're not asking for the business, you won't get it. You've got to ask for the business. Plain and simple. Clear call to action everywhere. On your website, on your Facebook pages, your social media. If you're posting for fun, some sort of call to action. Connect with me. Go to my website. Go here. Do the thing. Clear call to action. Ask for the business. And the third one is, we heard this from Steve Ramona. We love our buddy Steve. We love our buddy Steve. And he talked about this at our last conference. And he said, in the absence of a yes, provide more value, right? Because they're not a no. If you throw it out there and you say, Mike, I want you to do business with me. And Mike says, well, I can't do it right now. That's okay. That's not a no. It's not forever. It's not a right now. So now we provide more value. Great. Mike, what can I do for you today? Who can I introduce you to? What resource do you need to find that I can be that person? Because now you're creating a deeper level of trust. So that when Mike is ready to do business with me, he's going to think of me first. So that's what I would tell you, man. Ask for the business, clear call to action, provide more value.
Yeah. And have some sort of conversion strategy. Okay. You get on the phone to call. Okay, what are we doing? Hey, my name's nice to talk to you. How'd you hear about me? Anybody ever fill one of those surveys out? Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. John Smith or Jane Doe referred me over to you. Okay, great. Get some sort of thing from listening, introducing a solution, and then asking for the sale. So
yeah, it's got to be a process. And even Mike said it. He said it earlier. He said you got to be willing to have the same conversation again and again and again and again and again. Comes right down to it. Business itself is boring. Business should bore you to tears because you're doing the same exact thing again and again and again, because you have to test the result. Like, what did I get? I had that conversation 10 times. I got 10 no's. Okay. What do I need to adjust slightly? You can't have one conversation and adjust. You got to have it 10 times the same way, which means scripting, which means process and procedure and practice.
And the more comfortable you get at everything, the better the results, the more people you can help.
Because you get more authentic. You're more naturally you.
Speaking of authentic, let's move into confidence and conflict in business here. This is like two diametrically opposing situations, but you'll find these are definitely necessary. And moving into 2025, a lot of us are making changes, right? Especially, you know, in the month of January, right? We all early on were ready to go, and then boom, we run out of gas typically. But so
Most people quit going to the gym already.
It's true. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but let's just talk about something. You know, any partnership in business and any relationship that you fall in business is going to have interactions that you're not going to expect. Somebody's always going to feel like they're doing more work, and somebody's always going to feel like they're coasting. Somebody's going to be jealous. Somebody's going to be happy. Somebody's going to be sad. Somebody's going to be a little more with it. I feel like partnerships in business and agreements in business with business partners and business associates, it's kind of like baton passing. If you're a team and you're trying to beat poverty, or if you're trying to beat something else like being broke, you're running around a track and you're passing the baton. Well, if your portion of the track, you start to slow down because of some reason, injury, tired, whatever, and you pass that baton, well, try to take that entire time where somebody else is coming around to recover. But just know that that person's got a whole lot of thoughts pushing them around that track as well. So when that person's brain blows up and they start attacking you because you're not doing something, they're unhappy with you, you're not honoring agreements, a lot of things can go sideways. And I really feel like it's important that you follow a couple of steps, and I'm going to lay some out. I know I'm talking quite a bit here, Jake, but I'm just going to lay a few.
Do it.
First things first, even if you're guilty of slacking, you have reasons, I'm sure. And you may or may not be in alignment with that partnership. The second, if you don't like the way you're being communicated to, allow someone to punch themselves tired, the old Clubber Lang Rocky mentality, allow somebody to rope-a-dope them, and then hit back when you need to, not physically, metaphorically. And thirdly, know your outcomes and have other options. You have to sit down with yourself when reasoning with a partner, reasoning with somebody that's in conflict with you, and you have to be willing to understand you're going to have to give up something and you're going to have to give something, because you wouldn't be in conflict if that person didn't feel like you weren't giving something enough, and or they weren't giving up something. So at some point, you're going to have to realize either I'm going to have to justify my behavior, sever the relationship, or come to terms with some new terms about the partnership and try to salvage it, move forward depending upon the lucrative nature of the partnership. So there's my little pieces of advice. The idea is to try to move forward as positive as possible and to try not to get sucked into the emotional state of where the person you're in conflict is. I'm usually really good at that. So yeah. What do you think, Jake? You hear me talking about all this conflict and you hear conflict resolution and partnerships and agreements and stuff. You know, you and I, we've had several conversations about how we'd handle this. We're already ahead of this curve. We could say anything to each other we want. And, you know, we have an ongoing mentality, right? Any conflicts that pop up between us are speed bumps, not speed humps, right? They're just blips, right? They're not even speed tables. A speed table is a gigantic long speed bump. So what do you think when you hear all this conflict stuff? You know,
it takes me to prenups, right? That is where a little bit of this goes, is when you're building agreements, it's easier to build the agreement when everybody's in a good mood, when everybody's happy at the beginning and everything's cool. We can all agree, right? In partnerships, and we've all had partnerships that went sideways for whatever reason. The vast majority of the time that they, like, I'm not saying all the time, but the vast majority of the time that they go sideways, it's a communication issue, right? It is a communication issue. One person is not hearing what the other person is saying. One person is saying something, the other person is not listening. They're not connecting, right? We talked about this a little bit earlier in that authentically and connecting. But when you for Mike and I, the reason that it works is because we are in constant communication. Like, we don't allow, and we have told each other this, like, we don't allow things to build up. Like, if it pops up, we address it right now. Like, it's not a, I'm just going to set this in the back office for, you know, 3 months, and then I'm going to remember it, and then I'm going to be pissed about it. Like, that's one that, but you see that, and that's our relationship. Now, anytime that I've seen partnerships go sideways, typically there's something going on in one of or the other's personal life. There's something bleeding over into it that's impacting their mental capacity in that moment. They come into a conversation with you as a business partner and they're heated. They're already hot. They're already mad. There's an external onus that's messing with them. And they bring that into the conversation. And that's when things get really stupid. They go really sideways because emotion makes us act. That is true. Bad emotion makes us act badly. And it absolutely can. So, I mean, understanding where your contracts are, what your responsibilities are, taking accountability for that. I mean, I have been accused of being the most accountable person that I know. And of somebody that is probably wildly accountable. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with owning whatever it is, even if it's not for me to own that particular day, if that's what I have to do to put the fire out so that we can keep marching forward. Awesome. I'm willing to do that. But like, sometimes fighting for the sheer point of fighting, it doesn't solve. And here's what I'll tell you about contracts too. And this is where I want to kind of leave this piece for me is, when we get to the point of either our contracts or our conversations are all about protecting me, myself, and I have lost sight of the greater vision at that point, because I have lost sight that my business exists for my customer. If I didn't have a customer, I don't have a business. And if everything I do is about protecting me, I've lost sight of that. And there's some reevaluation that's got to happen.
Well, yeah, there's protecting me while serving the customer. You got to have both halves. You have to have both halves.
Well, you do, but if it's all about me, then we have.
Oh, yeah, you're right. 100%. Well, thanks, Jake. I mean, that's powerful insight. So, I mean, I guess the takeaway here is, when you guys are making your changes and you're evaluating relationships that you're in, and you're don't operate from a scarcity mentality. You have to move into an abundance mentality. And with the abundance mentality, it's not what I'm going to be missing. It's what I'm going to be trading. I am leaving the assets of this particular arrangement, or I'm fixing the assets of this particular arrangement, and I'm moving into more abundance. Not, oh my God, what am I going to do for money? What am I going to do for this? What am I going to do for that? No. Now I can do this particular set of things to acquire this result economically, financially. So, There's my 2 second takeaway, and I believe we're out of time. So
we're there, man. We're there. It's a lot today.
Yeah, it was a lot. It's a lot to unpack. You know, it's been a minute. So anyway, so on behalf of Jake Clendenning, I'm Mike Liberace. It's now your time to disrupt.
Go make it happen, guys.